And now Pastor Lane Stockton.
Amen. That sounded good. Y'all give them a hand. Thank you so much for your effort, your practice that you put into that. What a blessing. We've added another instrument now. And if you play an instrument and would like to get involved with that, all you have to do is see one of the adults there, Brother Jim, Brother Bill, or Brother Hector, and they will get you involved in that. You say, well, I haven't played in years. Brother Jim, how long it was since you played?
30 years.
30 years. If you've played 31 years, you've got an excuse. 30 years. Wow, you did great. And some of them have just started picking up the instruments the last couple of years and doing a great job. What a blessing. You say, well, I already play one of the same. Well, they have first seat, second seat, third seat, fourth seat. The good thing about in the Lord's band or ensemble, mixed musical group, there's only one seat. And that's enough seat for him, Christ Jesus. So get involved and enjoy yourself playing music and enjoy the fellowship together as you work together. Again, if you're visiting with us for the first time, thank you so much for being with us. We're glad that you're here. I have just a couple of announcements to make. I normally wouldn't do this, but I've got to do it because time is really crunching us on this. First of all, ladies, please meet with my wife after the evening service, if you would. So she can go over the Christmas ladies meeting. Please, if you're going to attend that, if you have to work and you can't come back tonight, please see her after this service so she can get the information. But if you're going to, please be for that meeting after church, if you would. And then we have our winter retreat coming up. The winter retreat normally is at Venture Faith Camp in Georgia, which includes ages 12 to 19 years old. Then they go up there for the 28th, 29th, and 30th. They'll be coming back on a Wednesday. But I've been praying about something here the last 2 weeks, and I really think it would be a blessing to our church. Is I called Brother Lockhart up at Mount Zion Baptist Church in Grundy County, Tennessee. That's the church that our church helped a lot with their building and stuff. And I talked to Brother Lockhart and I said, would it be possible if we was to come up and be with y'all on the 31st? Because they have services on the on a Thursday night. And I'm opening up for sign up. There's two sign-up sheets over here. One's the normal winter retreat. One is the one to Tennessee. The one in Tennessee we would leave on the 29th, which is a Tuesday, and be back on the 1st. The one in Georgia we would leave on the 28th and be back on the 30th. So what I'm asking is you to pray about this. We would leave here on the Tuesday going to Tennessee. We would get there that night. We'd stay in a hotel in Tracy City. The next day, we'd get up and do a little bit of sightseeing and touring up there of like the Fall Creek Falls area. And then we'd go over to Murfreesboro and go to church Wednesday night. We'd come back, stay in a hotel. The next day, we'd get up and we'd go do some more sightseeing up there, seeing the church. And then Thursday night, we'd have church with Mount Zion Baptist Church. And then, of course, we'd wake up early on the 1st and head back this way. So both those options is up there. And you say, preacher, it doesn't matter to me. I'd like to go to either one. Well, this may help you. The one to Georgia is $60. The one to Tennessee is $100. So there's a little bit difference. If you say, well, it still doesn't matter, sign up on both places. Please sign up. Both of them are over there. And if you need till tonight or till Wednesday night to pray about it and see, but please do not forget, and then we'll make an educated decision on where we're going to go. We still have time, but I've been praying. I think it would do our church good to go up and to visit with Mount Zion Baptist Church. And that one is open to everybody, adults alike. The other one's in Georgia is 12 to 19. The one to Tennessee is open to everybody. We'll just go, we'll get as many hotel rooms as we need, and we will stay together. That means if you have a kid that's 8 years old would like to go, one of the parents must go. One of the parents must. No alternates. No, we'll let Sister So-and-so know. If you're going to go to Tennessee and you're going to send a child, please, you plan to go with them. So sign up over there if you would. Let's go ahead and get to the Bible. Sorry about that. I just had to get that out. I know we've went over a lot of information. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 19. And if you want more information, talk to me afterwards about that and we would go. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. We are in Thanksgiving week. And I know that many of you have already put out your list of people, invited folks who you're going to come, would like to come as well to your Thanksgiving meal. So we're going to talk about an invitation that I would like to have if it was all possible. While I'm thinking about this, please pray for Sister Brenda and Brother Ron. She's in the hospital right now having a test up at Florida Hospital. They're the family that visits from Michigan. They're friends of the Corwins down for the winter. So pray for them. And also her sister passed away this past weekend. So pray for her as well. She's in the hospital here and her sister passed away up in Michigan, right, Brother Don? So pray for that family. So if I could invite somebody, I would love to invite the Apostle Paul. If I could have somebody over for Thanksgiving meal, I mean, just somebody, you know, extravagant, somebody that's very important. I mean, some of you may would like to invite some kind of basketball, football, baseball star. Maybe you'd like to have a governor or president, king, queen, I don't know. But I personally, I would like to invite the Apostle Paul. So I started thinking about that. So if I was to invite him, I'd like to have a conversation with him. Of course I can't. He's in heaven. He's there with the Lord. And but I have some writings from the Apostle that will help us to understand how my conversation might go with the Apostle Paul. Now there's some great portions of Scripture as you study them about Thanksgiving. For instance, on your own reading time, I'd like to encourage you to go and read Exodus chapter number 15. Exodus 15 is Moses' praise and thanksgiving song when they came across the Red Sea. The Red Sea, of course, closed up on the Egyptian army. And on the other side, he gave a wonderful, wonderful song of praise and thanksgiving. And then in Psalms 100, you'll find one by King David. King David had a wonderful song of thanksgiving there. So do that reading on your own and study it out. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, the Apostle Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse 15. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Now go over to Romans chapter number 1. We're going to read three portions of Scripture and then we're going to talk about these just for a little bit. Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 8. Book of Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 8. Read 8, 9, 10, and 11. The Bible says here in Romans chapter 1, verse number 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Verse 11. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. Now, last verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. This is a very familiar verse of Scripture. Many of you probably could quote it, but we'll go ahead and read it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 18. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, In everything, give thanks, for this is, listen to this, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So I send an invitation to Apostle Paul, and I'd like to have, you know, some Thanksgiving dinner. I love having turkey, Thanksgiving dinner. My mother-in-law taught us when we first got married, my wife and I, on doing a turkey. We've done it the same way every year for the last 28 years. We've done it as a family. We get it ready in the night before, about 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and we turn the stove on broil. We put all kind of things inside of it, apples, some onions, and some Cajun seasonings, and we stuff it in there. Then we put it in there and cover it with a dome of foil. We put it in the oven at midnight. We turn it. It's already been on broil for about 7 hours. About an hour. And then we let it cook on broil for 1 hour. Then we cut it off. We leave it in there all night long. Now, I didn't give you all of our secrets. I don't want you selling them over there to one of these restaurants and getting credit for our secret. I didn't get all that correct because I'm not the one that always does it. But it's always the same, every year, 28 years. And we have cornbread dressing, we have cranberries, we have a pie for everybody in our family. This is a tradition my wife started on her own. Everybody gets to pick a pie, and she cooks a pie for every single person in our family, which is growing, by the way. I have these thieves that come around called son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws that want to steal our children, and our family keeps growing. And so now we have pie till February at the house. So here's the Apostle Paul, and I'd like to ask him some questions. Paul, why are you thankful? Why in these verses here are you thankful? And I think the first thing the Apostle Paul would tell us is, I'm thankful because of Christ Jesus, my Savior. There's something to think about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as you think about the Lord and you're thankful for Him, understand something. There's two aspects of the Lord Jesus Christ that you should be thankful about. Many, really, but these two we're going to talk about. One is the empty grave, and two is eternal life. That's something to think about and to ponder. Now, understand, the Apostle Paul is one that hated Christ. He was an enemy of the cross. He hated what Christ stood for and all that he's doing. He actually held the coats to the friends, to the ones that stoned Stephen. Not only that, you understand something, it was the Pharisees and Sadducees that had a secret court and meeting at night. Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I personally believe, I'm not sure, I don't have Bible references, but I personally believe Paul may have been sitting on the council there that night when they falsely judged Christ. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was part of this here council. The Sanhedrin council gave him a letter to go into all of the region to bring in Christians and to stone them and to put them in jail and to make Christianity as we know it cease to exist. And so Paul puts many to death. But in Acts chapter number 9 and verse 1 through 9, you have the Apostle Paul headed up to Damascus, and he's on the road. And guess who he meets? The one his friends, the Pharisees, encouraged to be crucified. He meets Christ on the road to Damascus. Go with me, if you would, to Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9, there in the Word of God. Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9, verse 5. And Paul says this, and he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to keep against the pricks." Now, Apostle Paul understands something. There was a guard placed over the tomb. There was a body that was put inside the tomb. There was a conspiracy that says, hey, we'll just say the disciples stole the body. Now, Paul is seeing the one that hung on the cross, seeing the one that was wrapped up in robe. Now he's seeing him face to face. And I'm telling you, he has a newfound respect and honor for the empty tomb and the story that he had been told. Now he knows that Jesus Christ lives. He saw him dead. He heard the stories. The disciples come and stole away the body. That's the story we're going to stick to. And now the Apostle Paul is meeting him on the road to Damascus. I can imagine every time the Apostle Paul passed by an empty tomb, how that memory, how that conversation, how seeing Christ on that day on Damascus Road and being converted to Christianity, which he hated, how much more he was thankful for an empty tomb. Why should we be thankful for an empty tomb? Because if Jesus was still in the tomb, dear friend, there would be no gift of eternal life. Amen. That is our proof of eternal life. And the Apostle Paul, listen, he was a very, very religious person. He tried well to bring his religion to the rest of the world. But when he met the Lord Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road that day, he understood something, that eternal life was not something to be gained by works, but it was a gift to be received through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse number 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Paul would tell me that he was thankful not only for the empty grave, but for eternal life, which is by grace through Christ Jesus. Can you imagine being a Pharisee of Pharisees, keeping the law, the Bible says in Philippians, blameless? Keeping the law, that meant that he kept the law impeccable, and yet whenever he met the Lord Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road, he understood that his keeping of the law did absolutely nothing for him, and all of his religious rites, his religious activities were going to send him to a place that was going to be a place separated from God himself, a real place, a place called hell. I'm amazed at our society, how we are willing to accept a place called heaven, but we reject a place called hell. You can't have it both ways. The Bible makes it very clear and very plain that there's a place called hell to shun because of Christ Jesus our Lord. And a heaven to gain, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. And the Apostle Paul would say to us, "I am thankful at our Thanksgiving meal and our dinner for the fact that Christ is not in the tomb. And that through Christ I have eternal life." Not only that, I think I would be able to ask him another question. "Paul, what else are you thankful for? I mean, you're thankful for Christ, but what else?" And I believe with all my heart that the Apostle Paul would tell me that he was thankful for other Christians. Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 1. Verse 3. We did a sermon on this the first Wednesday of the month in November. I've been doing Thanksgiving messages every Wednesday night, and this was the first one, and I used this verse. He says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." Also, "I thank my God." I think he would be very adamant that he was thankful for other Christians. Paul had a great love for the saints. Paul had a great love for those that were around him. You know, the Bible says in John chapter 13, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you what? Love one another." Do you understand something? That there's a question that was presented to the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew, and it's in the other Gospels too. So what is the greatest of all the commandments? And he said there's two. The first is to love our God. And the second, he said, is like unto the first. It is to love our neighbor. I'm just here to tell you, dear friend, it doesn't get any closer to home being neighbors as our Christian family. And we have so much problems within our circle of Christendom that we are fighting one another right in the midst of lost people. It is no wonder that this lost world who knows not Christ would not have any interest in Christ when we as Christians, brothers and sisters, spend so much time fighting one another. I think the Apostle Paul would tell us that we should love our Christian brother and sister. I'm telling you, love longs for fellowship. I mean, what keeps you coming back to church? That desire for fellowship one with another, to be part of God's family, to be in the midst of the family of God and being there by our brother and our sister in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to long to see our brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul said here in Philippians 1, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Now listen. Sometimes Christians do not lie, do not live up to their potential. Can we all agree on that? I don't live up to the potential because greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. I make big mistakes. Sometimes we make silly mistakes. Sometimes we make greedy, selfish acts. And sometimes, listen, we don't talk like Christians should talk. Is that right? There's sometimes that we don't say things that Christians ought to say. Or we say things that Christians ought not say. I got that all twisted up. It was like spaghetti. Sometimes we don't live and do and act like Christians should act. That's just the fact of the matter. Because we live in this old body of flesh, this old body of sinful flesh, and we do things that are not what God would have us to do. But there's no reason, dear friend, to cut somebody off from fellowship because we don't act like we should act. Because if we were honest with ourselves, if that is the measure of judgment we're going to go by, then we ourselves would be cut off first. We don't always speak kind one to another, do we? We don't always, we're not always long-suffering with one another. We don't always give forbearance to one another. Paul said here, I thank my God upon every remembrance. I think Paul would be very thankful for Christ. And secondly, I think he'd be very thankful for brothers and sisters in the Lord. We're in a spiritual warfare, dear friend, and we need one another. I'm always amazed that when I talk to somebody, I would come back to church, but brother so-and-so, he was mean to me. Or sister so-and-so, she was looking at my clothes as if my clothes was not the best. Who cares what brother and sister so-and-so look at or are thinking? First of all, if we keep number one, Paul said, I'm thankful for Christ. If I'm more concerned with what Christ thinks, I'd be less concerned with what my brother and sister think, and I will be more in tune with the Lord, and I'd be more conformed to Christ. Sometimes Christians get involved in sinful things. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. We got to reach out in love. There was a song that I heard last year. I was looking for little clips for the youth and trying to find, keep the youth in tune. You know, we have our Bible clubs on Wednesday night at 6:30. And we're having 12 or 15 different youth that come before church. to be part of that. And you know, many of them drive their own selves now. They don't have to come. There's still a handful that still have to ride the church bus. There's still a handful that their moms bring them or dad brings them. But there's many that just show up on their own. They don't have to. So I'm trying to keep them involved and keep them understanding what we are here and what we're about for. And I found a clip a year ago. A music clip, and it had a message to it. And so I played it this past week, and I was looking for something to show them. And it was kind of like a rerun from last year to this year. But it really clicked on me. If you want a little love, you've got to give a little love. We're always eager to want love. When's the last time we really stopped and gave a little love? Just a little love of God to someone. And it just spreads like wildfire. And I believe sitting at my kitchen table, the Apostle Paul would bring me back to these here verses. He said, first of all, I am thankful for Christ. Because there is an empty tomb, and that's the proof that I have eternal life. And secondly, I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters in Christ, even when I have problems with them. Don't you understand he had problems with Mark? I mean, John Mark and him, they had a really tough schism. And so the fact that they spread apart, they split apart, Barnabas left and Paul went their way. And later on in the ministry, Paul said to them, bring Mark to me. He's profitable for the ministry. Thirdly, I would think he would tell me this, like it says in 1 Thessalonians 5. 18. In all things, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God. Can you imagine that? I have talked to so many people over the years trying to figure out the will of God. And this morning, this verse really popped out to me. A matter of fact, I think two Wednesday nights ago, we used that very verse. And we looked at it. But this morning, whenever I read it, for probably the 15th or 20th or 30th time that I've read that verse, the will of God is for me to be thankful. And I thought, well, no wonder some of those people have not found the direct will of God, because they're the most ungrateful people I ever. My mom and dad this, my wife this, my sister this, my job this, the United States of America that, my employer this, and there's no gratefulness at all, no thankfulness at all in their speech. And yet they're saying, God, give me something direct for me personally to do. This is the will, and it like bang, hit me. Have you ever had one of those moments? Like, wow. And I started pondering, I started thinking, the Apostle Paul, when were you thankful? I think about when he was stoned. I mean, they almost stoned him to death. I think about when he was shipwrecked. I think about when he was in prison. I think that the Apostle Paul in those very moments stopped and said, thank you, Lord. For being hit with rocks. For being shipwrecked. For being put in prison. You think the Apostle Paul said, thank you. I really think so, because Apostle Paul was the writer of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse 18. I know the Holy Spirit of God used him and he was the human instrument, but I don't think for one moment that God would have used a human instrument that was not submitted to be thankful. And God moved through Paul to write, in everything give thanks. And I think the Apostle Paul was thinking in his poor eyesight. I think that Apostle Paul may have possibly thought he was not handsome. I think the Apostle Paul thought he was a short man through reading the Scriptures. And I think through all that, Apostle Paul learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith be content. And he was thankful. Listen, can I help you just for a moment? You worried about whether or not you're 5'4" or 7'4" is not going to change the fact the size you are. Be thankful for who you are. If I was only born to these families or that family, I was born in this neighborhood, if I was in this job, be thankful for where you're at. I saw a little picture today. It said this. We're almost done. Bear with me. It said this. Sometimes when God shows you the grass is greener on the other side, He's really showing you need to water the grass where you're at. I thought, wow, that is amazing thought. When's the last time you watered your own grass? In your relationships. Not your house. The Lord took care of that last night. But when's the last time you watered your own grass with your sons and your daughters and your wife and your husband and your brother and sister in the Lord? Not only that, I think Paul would have been thankful even though there was times in his ministry that his necessities were met, but not just his needs. I think he would say, you know, I needed this, but my necessities were met. What's necessity? Food, clothing, shelter? Sometimes we get to looking at our neighbors and we think they don't deserve what they got. That it should belong to you. You are God's and the entire world is His. And He gives us what we need. And be thankful for it. And you folks that keep posting this crazy stuff on Facebook, type amen, and you're going to have some money at the end of the month. Get you a second job and quit typing amen. It don't happen that way. Be thankful for who you are. Can I ask you this morning, if Apostle Paul was sitting there with us in this conversation and he would say, I'm thankful for Christ, I'm thankful for Christians, I'm constantly thankful in everything. Well, give me proof. He's not with us. He cannot join us for Thanksgiving. But we have the proof in the Word of God. And the Word of God is just as powerful today in 2015 as it was the very moment God used him as a human instrument to pin it down. Because it's forever settled in heaven. And if it was the will of God for Paul to be thankful, for the church at Thessalonica to be thankful, it's the will of God that we be thankful and Lock Haven Baptist Church to be thankful. Amen. This Thanksgiving season, I don't know what troubles you're going through or the difficulties you're having. I don't know what financial woes you may be having. You may be having relationship problems. First, think about Christ and all that He's done for you. Then think about your other brother and sister in Christ. I mean, there is so many around us that we could be a help to. And every moment you have opportunity in everything, give thanks. Let's stand our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Brother Jim's going to come. The pianists are going to make their way up. I would ask you this morning, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, do you understand the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? There's none righteous, no, not one. Religion cannot do anything for you eternally. The law is our schoolmaster to teach us that we stand in need of Christ. Perhaps this morning you've been very religious in your life. Perhaps you've kept the commandments. But the Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with mouth confession is made. It is through Jesus that a person is saved. This morning, if you don't know Him as your Savior, would you come? Let us take the Bible and show you what the Bible says about eternal life.